It's a Good Life, coming to you from Central Baptist Church, located at 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
The Jews were not looking for a Savior. They were looking for a king. The Jews continued in their unbelief, in spite of what Isaiah was telling them. To help the Jews understand and believe, Isaiah wrote under the inspiration of God, Isaiah 7:14, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." Well, during Christ's ministry, the Jews did not believe what he told them. We read in Luke chapter 11, verse 29, that Jesus told the Jews who were looking for a sign that the whole generation was evil. He wanted them to know they had already received the only sign they would get. Luke chapter 11, verse 29 says, "And when the people were gathered thick together, he began to say, 'This is an evil generation. They seek a sign, and there shall no sign be given it but the sign of Jonas the prophet.'" Well, the sign of Jonas, of course, Jesus referred to, is found in Jonah chapter 1 and verse 17, where it says, "Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights." Well, as Jonah, or Jonas, was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the fish and come out, so the body of Christ would be 3 days and three nights buried and then come out alive. Well, the prophecy of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ was prophesied even before he was even born. Well, what about the time of Christ's birth? Well, as we read, there was a 70-mile journey that had to be taken, a journey from Nazareth to Bethlehem. And it would probably have been too difficult for Mary in the winter, in other words, in December, to make that trip. A more probable time, I believe, of the journey from Nazareth to Bethlehem would be late September, the time of the annual Feast of Tabernacles. The Feast of Tabernacles, we see this in Leviticus chapter 23 and verse 34 and Deuteronomy 16. That feast is also referred to as the Feast of Ingathering. Harvests or booths, in other words, Sukkot. In Exodus chapter 23 and Leviticus 23 talks about this. And this feast was observed by the Jews in the fall of the year, which was in the seventh month of the Hebrew calendar, September. Now, the conception of Christ. Now, let me back up just a moment. When we see this, the seventh month of the Hebrew calendar, this would be our September. September, October would be the Jewish calendar. Well, the connection of Christ may have taken place, and we see this, the connection and conception, the connection that we read of Christ about his conception, may have taken place in late December of the year preceding Christ's birth. Well, of course, this is not a certainty. Our Christmas celebration in December may well be recognized as an honored observation of the incarnation of the Word made flesh. John 1:14 says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Well, what about the place of Christ's birth? See, Jesus was born in Bethlehem. Micah chapter 5 and verse 2, it says, "But thou, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is, to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting." Jesus has always been as God. Luke chapter 2, verses 4 through 6, "And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered." Now, this word being taxed, these words being taxed. There was a thing going on that they took a census, and it would be the same thing, the wording. They were taking a census. Herod wanted all the people to be counted. It was a time of taxation. Well, after the birth of Christ, after he was laid in a manger, it says in Luke chapter 2 and verse 27, "And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn." Ezekiel chapter 16 verse 4 describes Israel as unswaddled, a metaphor for abandonment. Like they were abandoning the Lord Jesus Christ. They would, of course, eventually, once he started preaching and telling them that they need to be born again. Ezekiel chapter 16, verse 4, and as it says, "And as for thy nativity, in the day thou wast born, thy navel was not cut, neither wast thou washed in water to supple thee. Thou wast not salted at all, nor swaddled at all." Well, Christ was laid in that manger. He was a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, clothes of death. What awaited Christ was a life of, I would not say, maybe I could say turmoil, caused by people of unbelief, people who would not believe that Jesus Christ had come into the world to seek and to save those who were lost, people who did not believe that he was the very Son of God. Well, notice the manner of Christ's birth. Notice the conception of Christ by Mary. And this birth and this conception was supernatural. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost." And we read this familiar verse, Isaiah 7:14, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." Well, Dr. Henry Morse has stated this. He says the miracle of the incarnation of the Lord Jesus was not his virgin birth, for it was a normal human birth in every way, but rather his miraculous conception. This was the woman's seed, Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15. The new thing in the earth, Jeremiah 31 and verse 22. And the prophesied virgin conception of Isaiah 7:14. It is explicitly recorded here in Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. Dr. Morse continues, and he says, and also in Luke chapter 1, verse 26 through 38. Then further implied in John chapter 1, verse 14, Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4, and other scriptures. End of quote. Well, Jesus came. He was born of a virgin. His name would be called Emmanuel. He would be Emmanuel, according to Isaiah 7:14. Emmanuel, God with us. Well, what about witnesses to the birth of Christ? Did anybody witness the birth of Christ? Well, of course, Mary and Joseph were witnesses to the birth. In Luke chapter 2, verses 15 and 16, it says, "And it came to pass, as the angels were going away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem." In other words, the angels had been speaking to the shepherds, and now they were going back into heaven. And the shepherds said, "Let us go into Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph, and the babe lying in a manger. Well, Mary and Joseph, of course, were witnesses, and the shepherds were witnesses. But notice the angels were witnesses to the birth of Christ. Luke chapter 2 and verses 10 through 14. "And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." I've mentioned the shepherds, how that the shepherds were told by the angel. And it says in the same country, there were shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. Luke chapter 2 and verse 8. You continue reading chapter 2 of Luke, verses 10 and 11. And notice in chapter 2 and verse 20 of Luke, it says, "And the shepherds returned glorifying." This is after they had seen Christ. "They returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them." They had heard and they had seen for themselves. Now let me say that the Word of God speaks to us. The Word of God, we hear the Word of God. Oh, sometimes audibly when a preacher stands or someone quotes the Bible, but the Word of God speaks to us as we read it and as we hear it. God speaks to our heart personally. We hear the Word of God. Notice someone else who was a witness to the birth of Christ. His name was Simeon. He was the son of Jacob. Now, he gave witness to Christ as the salvation of God. Now, when I say a son of Jacob, he was a descendant. Notice this. Luke chapter 2, verses 25 through 32 talks about this. "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him." This consolation, of course, is speaking of here is Jesus. Verse 26 goes on to say, "And it was revealed unto him," that's Simeon, "by the Holy Ghost, that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel." Jesus Christ came for all. And that's what Simeon was saying. Simeon was a man who witnessed the birth of Christ. Genesis chapter 49 and verse 18 says, "I have waited for thy salvation, O Lord." Simeon waited. And in Genesis 49:18, we see that this is the first mention of the word salvation in the Bible. The Hebrew word Yeshua is actually the same as the name Jesus. Would you note something here? There are only three adjectives used in the New Testament to describe our salvation. It is so great salvation, Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 3. It's eternal salvation in Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 9. And it is the common salvation, Jude 3. The common salvation for the common man, for the common woman, for the common human race. It's salvation for everyone, in other words. It's salvation for you and I. I pray that you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. If you haven't, you need to do it, especially now. Tomorrow may be too late. The Bible says now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Right now, we're not promised tomorrow in this life. But you can have Jesus today if you'll call upon Him. You can have eternal life if you'll call upon Him today. Trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. To as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. Trust Him right now. Ask Him into your heart right now.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org, or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.